Now, last month, a 22-year-old Indigenous woman, Julieka Du, died suddenly after being locked up in the South Hedland police station for 3 days. Why was she there? Unpaid fines. Now, as Paige Taylor and Michael McKenna reported at the time in the Australian newspaper, after days of vomiting, pain and complaints of fever and paralysis, she was deemed medically fit to be kept in custody after 2 visits to the nearby hospital. And her uncle has been asking, how did health authorities miss such an obvious health problem? How was it okay that she was still declared fit to be held in police custody? And why should she even have been in jail for those unpaid fines? Now, a coronial inquest and internal police investigation will be held into her death. The Greens member of the Upper House, Robin Chappell, wants an independent judicial inquiry. He's here to tell us why. Robin Chappell, good morning.
Good morning, Jeff.
Why do we need an independent judicial inquiry into Ms. Du's death?
Well, look, this is, unfortunately, another death in custody. I thought we'd most probably reached a situation as a result of the deaths in custody inquiry almost 10 years ago that this shouldn't be happening. Now, we've obviously had the Mr. Ward death recently and now Julieka. But what's interesting, there's nothing interesting about it, but what is pertinent to this case is that Julieka was being held in custody for an unpaid fine. Firstly, the issue then becomes, should we really be jailing anybody for unpaid fines when we can do community service orders, those sorts of things?
Yes.
It just doesn't seem a cost-effective way to go about things. But notwithstanding that, it's my understanding that Julieka already had a poisoned foot at the time of her arrest, and that was causing her some grief. During her incarceration, she, as far as we can ascertain, and I'll make a point on this shortly, as far as we can ascertain, she visited the hospital twice and was released back into custody with no problem associated with her medical condition. Now, whether or not, and this is what we don't know, she then deceased in police custody, or whether she was then taken to the hospital and deceased there, we don't know. So I've been following a line of questioning on that. Now, last night I asked the Minister for Health basically how many times Julieka was transported to the Hedland Health Campus, what was the duration of each visit, and was she alive at the time of the last presentation? And the answer comes back. The incident referred to is currently subject for an internal investigation by the West Australian Police. And as such, I think it would be inappropriate to respond to this question at this time.
Okay, just a couple of things, Robin. So when we first became aware of this story, we knew that this young woman has died in police custody, but we make certain assumptions. Was it in the lockup? Was it in the hospital or at the health campus? And you're saying a month on, we still can't confirm?
Absolutely. And my query immediately comes from the question that I asked last night, was what are the hospital doing not disclosing, not evidence, but information they have, when they're not beholden to the police in any way, shape or form? So I would have thought that question would at least clarified the state Julieka was in during the visits, and also was she alive at the time of her last presentation?
So, Robin, given what you know that a 22-year-old woman who was in jail for unpaid fines, who was unwell, who had had a couple of hospital presentations, we know she has died. That is the great sadness of all this.
Absolutely.
But you are unable to find out any further circumstances because the health minister says there's going to be a police investigation, so we can't find out.
Exactly, and I feel that was...
That's why it should be independent of a police investigation.
Absolutely, because we've had deaths in custody over a long period of time. It started back in John Pat 30 years ago, where a horrible situation occurred. We tend to singularly have problems with Indigenous people dying in custody. And here we have a young woman, a very attractive young woman, a vibrant young woman, who unfortunately has passed away, either in police custody or in the medical facilities. But the medical side of this was releasing her back into custody, saying she was well. So I was trying to find out whether she had certificates to return to police custody or whether it was just a presentation to the hospital where they went, oh, well, no worries, you can go back, not a problem.
Okay, now so, we know there'll be a coronial inquiry. There are always coronial inquiries into deaths that are unexamined or there is not detail known of, but this could take years because coronial inquiries, you know, the line, the waiting list for coronial inquiries is a long time. Why don't you accept that an internal police investigation is appropriate here?
Well, let's look at what happened. Julika's remains were brought to Perth. There was an autopsy carried out in Perth, at which none of the family were present at. No family representation, no doctors, and yet there were six police officers present during the autopsy. Now, that tends to make me really start getting very suspicious of the whole process.
So what would it take for you to succeed in your call for an independent judicial inquiry? And obviously, I understand the benefits of that. That is, someone outside looks in.
Yeah, look, I was going to ask the Minister for Indigenous Affairs, who has a cultural responsibility.
That's Peter Collier?
That's Peter Collier, but unfortunately Peter is paired for this week, so I'm not in a position to ask him if he was going to conduct one. I have no power because we don't have the balance of power in the upper house. We don't have the majority in the upper house. So if the government and the National Party join ranks, as they usually do, even if I put a motion up for an inquiry, it won't happen.
Should this be beyond politics?
Oh, absolutely. And therein lies one of the fundamental problems we have at the upper house at the moment, that it's not a house of review, it's a rubber stamp for the government.
What happens next? I mean, I obviously can get in contact with the police commissioner and make those further inquiries, but these things tend to be handballed around small circles.
Exactly. Now, there were two issues, other issues, which I'm trying to follow up, and I will be asking a further question today of the Attorney General, who has responsibility over the procedures of post-mortems. Were those procedures carried out accordance to the Act? And the Act is quite specific what should happen. And the family should be informed, and the family is allowed to have their own representation there. The family is actually allowed to touch the body, and they're allowed to have their own medical representation there. I don't know whether that occurred. Now, I've got a horrible feeling that when I ask the minister that today, I will get the same answer. It's subject to a police internal investigation.
Well, I wonder, upon people listening to this today, whether there isn't a compelling public interest in a story like this that says, for the benefit of all, to clear suspicion and doubt, have an independent inquiry into the manner of this young woman's death.
Absolutely.
And why this is about politics sometimes is beyond me. Robin Chappell, we'll leave it there for now. Thank you for talking to us, and we'll keep a very close eye on that. You're with Jeff Hutchison.